It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
How much more American blood must we shed before Congress does its job?
Border security and immigrant crime. President Trump often sees it as one issue.
Day after day, precious lives are cut short by those who have violated our borders.
The latest case comes from Northern Nevada.
We are confident we have the person responsible for the LaGuardia Lane and homicides, as well as the homicides in Douglas County.
A week-long manhunt ended Saturday when police arrested suspect Wilbur Martinez Guzman, a 19-year-old illegal immigrant wanted in a string of murders. 2 weeks ago, police found a 56-year-old woman robbed and dead of a gunshot wound. 3 days later, a mile away, a second victim, a 74-year-old woman robbed and killed. Then, an 80-year-old man and his wife found dead, their valuables gone.
It's unnerving. So it just makes you more vigilant about being aware of what your surroundings are.
Reno's violent and property crime problem is above average, but police say seeing both together with an older population is unusual. A tip to police put Guzman in the crosshairs. Agents had no physical evidence, but a check with ICE put him in the U.S. illegally.
The command staffs of all agencies collectively agreed that Guzman, a person of interest at the time, should be taken into custody on immigration charges.
Unlike California, Nevada is not a sanctuary state, so police can cooperate with ICE. And in this case, they used Guzman's illegal status to hold him until search warrants revealed a mountain of evidence tying him to all three crimes. And the DA expects to file murder charges this week.
That was William LaJeunesse on Fox just last night, just freshly reported another illegal immigrant criminal murdering American citizens. This is day 32 of the shutdown. The president is asking for the Democrats to negotiate with him, and yet from Chuck Schumer, this is what we hear.
We are aghast that he wants this giant 30-foot wall to be the symbol of America. We want the symbol of America to remain the Statue of Liberty, freedom, equality, not a divisive wall. And we will fight for that.
All right, so that's where it stands. And so this morning, legislation is being introduced in the Senate, and no one knows really more about what's happening in the Congress than my next guest, and also just in this situation. That's Rosemary Jenks. She is with Numbers USA. She's their Director of Governmental Affairs. Rosemary, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Sandy. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, Rosemary, I'm confused now. I know that Leader McConnell, is introducing a bill this morning in the Senate, but what is that bill about? I mean, is that the proposals of the president that he announced on Saturday, or is it something else?
Well, we haven't seen it yet, so nobody, I think, is quite sure, but supposedly it's going to include the appropriations for all of the federal agencies that are now closed, shut down, and it's going to include the $5.7 billion for the wall plus additional money for as President Trump laid out on Saturday, and an extension of the DACA amnesty and an extension of temporary protected status for somewhere between 300 and 400,000 formerly illegal aliens. It is not, unfortunately, going to include any provisions that would actually stop the caravans. It doesn't include any asylum reform provisions. It doesn't include any reforms to fix the problem of unaccompanied alien children. It doesn't include additional money for detention space. So, you know, it is, in our view, Numbers USA's view, not a good deal. We obviously need to build the wall, and because that is a national security issue, we shouldn't compromise on it.
So I think, and to make it clear, Rosemary, my understanding is, first of all, we are not getting much of the wall. I don't know how you would quantify that, and I want to ask you to do that in just a second. But the other part is the part you just said, that the things that really discourage people from coming here are not being addressed. So they're going to put up a partial barrier, but not reduce any of the incentives. And that's therein lies the problem. Did I get that right?
Yes. Well, and also in exchange for amnesty. I mean, this is, you know, last year we talked about the bill that Bob Goodlatte, the former chairman of the Judiciary Committee, had introduced that would have given an extension to the DACA population on a temporary basis, but also included all of the asylum reforms, all of the fixes we needed to stop the caravans and other problems at the border, the $25 billion in border funding, ending chain migration, ending the visa lottery, you know, all the things that we want and need to fix our immigration system. And that was a deal that was worth looking at, in our view. This, a small segment of the border wall, 230-some miles, according to President Trump, is not worth trading amnesty for when you're not really doing anything else.
Okay, so Rosemary, the opposite argument is, well, this is not amnesty. He said he would let the DACA recipients, the 700,000 or 800,000 of them, this particular group of them, stay in the country protected for 3 more years, and TPA, which I want to get to in just a second. 3 more years. They're not getting citizenship, so why is this amnesty?
Why is DACA amnesty? I mean, there is not a Republican in Washington, D.C., who doesn't consider Obama's unconstitutional DACA program amnesty. This codifies and extends that amnesty. There's no possibility that you can argue that DACA is amnesty and this is not. That's the problem. And Republicans are turning themselves inside out to try to make that argument, and it is patently absurd.
Oh, let me just speak to the obvious for a second, because, Rosemary, we've got all these people coming right now. They're starting new caravans, and they're making their way in various iterations to our southern border. So they hear this news that the president is offering a 3-year extension. And I'm telling you, if I were them and I heard this, I would be encouraged. And actually, I might pack my bag and head for the border and be willing to face all of that, knowing that, you know, the Americans are so weak on this issue and so divided, and the president's soft on it. I put my money on we could stay if we get there. That's what I would think. How about you?
Well, it's absolute fact. I mean, there's no disputing that that is the case. We are still in the middle of catch and release. We are releasing thousands of people who are going to become illegal aliens into our country because they have filed a false asylum claim. They're not going to show up for their asylum hearings if they even end up filing the actual application. They're going to work here and live here illegally until we decide that we've had enough. Well, I think most Americans have decided they've had enough, but unfortunately, we still do not have the political will to fix this. And the Democrats are absolutely adamantly opposed to fixing this problem. And you know what? We need to be putting pressure on the Democrats, because they're the ones who are refusing to move. The idea that they would put our national security at risk because they hate Donald Trump is just unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I totally agree. I think most people listening to us probably agree with that, Rosemary. But I want to ask some in-the-weeds questions again, because their neighbors and friends don't. On the Dreamers, because of the name that President Obama gave this group of people, there's tremendous sympathy. It's just such a beautiful thought, these Dreamers. Well, and some people, and I understand this, have a soft heart toward them, that they've grown up in the United States, brought here illegally, and why shouldn't they be able to stay? And so I ask you, we've had this conversation multiple times, but it has to be restated. What's the problem with letting the Dreamers stay?
Well, the problem with any kind of amnesty is that you are rewarding bad behavior. If you reward bad behavior, you get more bad behavior. So, you know, the issue is, there may come a time when we're all willing to talk about what is the answer for the Dreamers. But the first thing we need to do is secure the border. The second thing we need to do is start reducing the illegal population that is already in this country so that we know who's here and how many. And we need to make sure that our legal immigration system is set up to protect American workers, to put America first. And then we can talk about what to do with residual illegal aliens. But that can't be our priority. Our priority has to be what is best for Americans.
You know, that reminds me of a decision yesterday that was made by a federal judge that this census question that simply asks if you're an American citizen or not can be on the census of 2020. And a federal judge says, no, it cannot. And the Supreme Court was prepared to hear this and now is not going to hear it. So, Rosemary, the Supreme Court is also scheduled, as I understand it, to rule on DACA itself, on the constitutionality of DACA. What do you know about that, and what do you think the chances are that court making DACA illegal, the whole program?
If the Supreme Court decides to hear that, I think they will in fact find that it was an illegal program, and that will put an end to DACA. And that, of course, will make Congress panic and most likely do something really stupid, like just pass a big amnesty instead of getting any of the reforms that we need. But, yes, I do think that if the court hears it, they will say that it was an unconstitutional act.
But they haven't agreed to hear it.
They are supposed to. I haven't actually looked today. They're supposed to be deciding imminently. I just don't know exactly when.
Okay, quickly, we're going to run out of time. Can you quickly tell us what TPS, what temporary protected status, what is that and who are these people?
Temporary protected status is a program that was created in 1990 to essentially allow the executive branch to make an emergency humanitarian decision in cases where there is, for example, a hurricane or a tornado or a mudslide or something, some national disaster that happens in a foreign country, so that the president can say, okay, anybody who is here right here in the U.S. right now from that country, we're going to give you temporary protected status so you don't have to return until your country is safe to return to. It's supposed to last for 18 months. The countries we're talking about now are mostly Central American plus Haiti, and they have had a temporary protected status for 20 years or more already because presidents have refused to step up to the plate and end it when the national emergency ends. So instead, they've just passed the buck and keep extending it and extending it and extending it until finally President Trump's administration said, okay, these national emergencies don't exist anymore. They were 20 years ago. We're ending this.
Yes. Okay. So they can stay three more years on top of their 20. All right. So this Senate bill that you've described is being introduced this morning. What are the chances of the bill in its current form passing?
It sounds like the way the Democrats are entrenched, that it will not get 60 votes. Everything in the Senate, of course, needs to get 60 votes. I think there will be some Republicans who will refuse to vote for it because, again, it's amnesty. And I think that there likely will not be any Democrats who vote for it, with the possible exception of someone like a Joe Manchin.
All right, so others are speculating that the president knew they wouldn't pass it and he's going to declare a national emergency. And just your thoughts about that quickly as you hear that music playing.
You know, I hope he does because we've had enough of this. If Congress isn't going to deal, then he just needs to figure out a way to do this by himself. We need that wall.
Yeah, boy, do we ever. You know, I just read this morning that Hungary's new border fence that they put up when they had thousands of migrants coming across their borders, Muslim migrants, they put up a wall and it is completely reduced. They're not being invaded at all. They're very proud of that wall, and it shows that it actually can be quite a success. Rosemary Jenks, Numbers USA. Rosemary, always a pleasure. And if you want more information on this, check Numbers USA website. They are the arbiter, the go-to group on this issue, and I trust their information, so let me just recommend them to you. Rosemary, thank you so much. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Question: do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Planned Parenthood's new president, Lena Wen, made a surprising admission. Our core message is providing, protecting, and expanding access to abortion, she said. Even so, Wen is attempting to downplay this fact and instead talk about adding legitimate forms of health care to their mostly abortion agenda. Their new campaign is to call abortion health care. They want to intentionally blur the line between saving and nurturing life and brutally taking life by the violence of abortion. The tragic thing is, Planned Parenthood gets over $500 million tax dollars a year under the guise of providing help for women, when they're actually killing babies and often hurting their mothers. The truth is, we should be investing in women's health care, not abortion.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
So my name is Atara. I'm a senior and my major is psychology. I love Truett. Maybe a lot of other schools out there. You can go to bigger schools. You can go to schools that's way far away from home. But in the end, one of the things that I realized is that God called me here, and that's why Truett is the perfect place for me. And if God called you here, then it's the perfect place for you also.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Nick Sandman is the young man of that now infamous photograph, the teenage boy wearing the Make America Great Again ball cap, standing silently while a grown adult banged a drum in his face. The mainstream media rushed to judgment and accused Nick and his classmates from Covington Catholic High School of being racist. But video evidence shows it was the boys who were in fact the victims, not the aggressors. But the mainstream media doesn't care about the truth. They believe people who support President Trump are irredeemable deplorables. Nick says he's received death threats. His character has been assassinated. It's not the first time people have been attacked for wearing those ball caps. I doubt it'll be the last. There are many Trump haters who believe Nick got what he deserved just because he wants to make America great again. In truth, those kids from Covington High School behaved more maturely than all the grown-ups. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
It gives me no pleasure to tell you that we now have a president of the United States who is a racist.
We've learned in the last 2 years, it doesn't take much to awaken hate, to bring those folks out from under the rocks.
Okay, so that was Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. So the president is a racist, yeah. That's what they keep telling us. And of course, if you repeat a lie often enough, people believe it. And that is what people are believing. And that ties into what happened to those boys from that Kentucky Catholic school, which I just have to spend more time on this morning because it has such huge implications for all of us. You know, I just told you last week about what happened to Congressman King from Iowa because of what the New York Times had reported about him, inferring and accusing him of being a white nationalist, a white supremacist, which is a lie. And we saw the leaders of Congress, we saw Kevin McCarthy strip Congressman King of all of his responsibilities. We saw the Congress rush to censure him. They didn't manage to censure him, but they passed a resolution condemning him. And now in Iowa, they're trying to get him to resign. I don't know if the jury's still out on this. The jury's still out on this, but even our side, meaning broadly conservatives and Republicans, and that's not necessarily the same thing, were happy to jump all over Steve King and destroy him. And the same thing just happened to these boys from Kentucky. And the reason I'm going to spend some time on this is because we have to be aware of what's happening in our country. I have told you, and I'm going to say again to you this morning, that we are moving into an era of complete propaganda, where what we hear, we cannot trust. The president's been calling it fake news. I told you I've known about this since the Vietnam War. I knew that they were lying to us then. We had ABC, NBC, CBS. Then there was no alternative source of media, but every night they reported the same stats. And now we know after Walter Cronkite died, we knew that he was a rabid leftist, an anti-war activist. Who knew that? He was also very pro-abortion. He carried the water for the abortion movement. I remember doing a documentary on that, and Bernard Nathanson, who had been a former abortionist, told me over dinner how they fed information to Walter Cronkite as he falsely reported about coat hanger abortions and back alley abortions. They made up numbers. Bernard said, I sat at the table as we made up the numbers. It's a stunning story, but it's true. And now the same thing is happening. We have to be smart. And so I want to help you be smart about this. And a lot of our friends and neighbors are still in the dark about what's actually happening. And if this story about these Catholic boys doesn't reach them, or if it doesn't resonate them, then it's going to have to happen again. And no doubt it will. So let's talk about this. I want to give you one example of how this was reported. I did discuss it yesterday, but yes, I'm going to hammer it home again. These boys from Covington Catholic High School came to the March for Life. They wore their school hats and T-shirts, and some of them had on Make America Great Again. They're just high school boys. It's an all-boys school. They're having fun, and they are at the Lincoln Memorial. Yep. And they're there about 5-something, and suddenly about 4 black, I think they call themselves Israeli, now I can't remember the name. Anyway, they have some Israeli name, but they're black, and they're radical activists, started shouting at these boys. I could not tell you yesterday because it was so vulgar. They called them the children of incest, and that's the nicest thing I can say. They called them horrible things, screaming at these boys, and these are high school boys. So the boys decide, and this can be seen on the 2-hour video if you care to watch it. The boys then decide, they ask their teacher or chaperone, guide, whatever he was, if they could do school chants. Because it's an all-boys school and they have all these chants, they do it games. So they started doing their school chants. And then suddenly from the crowd comes this Nathan Phillips, who is an American Indian. He's described in the press as Indian elder Vietnam vet. And he starts banging a drum. It's Indigenous Peoples Day or something like that. And so there's a handful of Indian, I don't even know if there's a handful, but there's Nathan Phillips and at least one other guy. And so Nathan starts banging this drum and walking toward the boys, just steadily marking. It gets very, very close to the one that you've seen in the picture and bangs his drum and is shouting his Indian chant. And the boys, as you can see in the video, are looking on. They don't really know. We don't know what's going on in their head. We know now they didn't really know what was going on. Certainly the boy that was front and center, whose picture's been plastered everywhere, said, I didn't know what to do, so I just stood there. I felt like I could maybe tap down the situation if I just smiled and just stood there and didn't respond, because they were yelling all these things. The Native Americans were saying, you know, go, you white whatevers, boys, go back to Europe. This is not your country. So that's some of what they were shouting. And so what happened was certain people, including the people, I guess, videotaping for Nathan Phillips, sent out little excerpts of this and claimed that Nathan, that this young man and the other boys had circled the Indian elder, Nathan Phillips, and harassed him and ridiculed him because they began to jump up and down with his drum beat. They actually thought he was sympathetic with them because they were being singled out by this group of black racists. Really, they are just foul-mouthed. I can't even repeat to you the things that they were saying. And so, but then they find out that, no, Nathan Phillips is not their friend either. So the Indians start, you know, yelling things at the boys too. And so that's really what happened. And I don't even have to explain it further than that. And you can watch the video and you can see for yourself. So here's how it was reported. Here's the Washington Post. A viral video of a group of Kentucky teens in Make America Great Again hats taunting a Native American veteran on Friday has heaped fuel on a long-running, intense argument among abortion opponents as to whether the close affiliation of many anti-abortion leaders with President Trump since he took office has led to moral decay that harms the movement. So you read through this article and you see that what's happening here is an attempt to denigrate the March for Life, which none of the networks covered. They covered the Women's March, but they ignored this march, which had reportedly up to 200,000 people. It is huge every year. I've been so many years. I love it. And the kids that come are just refreshing, like these boys. And they chant pro-life slogans. And it just, it is the most delightful thing. But of course, it must be destroyed. And so it's linked, of course, this movement now to President Trump, because he spoke at the rally. And he is a racist. So the situation with these boys in a MAGA hat, you know, attacking this poor Native American, this innocent poor guy, you know, just banging his drum, and they circle him and ridicule him, proves the narrative that boys that wear MAGA hats and follow the president are also racists. And it also proves that this pro-life movement has been infiltrated and ruined and inhabited by people like this, like these boys wearing MAGA hats like their president. So the Roman Catholic Diocese of Covington immediately came out. We condemn the actions of the Covington Catholic High School students toward Nathan Phillips and Native Americans in general. We extend our deepest apologies to Mr. Phillips. This behavior is opposed to the church's teaching on the dignity and respect of the human person. The matter is being investigated, and we will take appropriate action up to and including expulsion. And on they go. And they had not even spoken to the boys, but they were happy, happy to condemn them. And then, of course, the Washington Post goes on to say, the event happened as abortion opponents in recent days debated the March for Life's decision to feature greetings from President Trump this year and last year. It goes on to say, some abortion opponents say that the march has become too partisan and too aligned with politically conservative figures. Now, look, I'm here to tell you that President Trump has done more for life than even Ronald Reagan. He has. Now, you can say what you will about him, but I can tell you he has, and he deserves to speak at that march. And he deserves the praise of people who are pro-life. But, of course, the Washington Post is trying to destroy him and the march. Anti-abortion leaders' embrace of Trump has alarmed a wide range of Christian abortion opponents. And it goes on and on. I'm going to read some of the tweets in response to this reporting about how these boys treated this poor, innocent Indian man, who, by the way, I saw go on CNN, you may or may not have seen this, and cry. I saw Nathan Phillips cry about how badly he was treated and how worried he was about the future of these boys and what they're going to do to this country. This is theater. It's the leftist theater. Okay, so why be surprised? This is from Marcus Mesher. Why be surprised at the disrespectful behavior of Covington Catholic students? They're behaving just like Trump. And so on and on it goes. I could read so many things. I wish I could. Rod Dreher wrote in the American Conservative a piece. He was in Ireland at the time, and he initially thought the boys were guilty because of what he was hearing. And then he started listening to this, and he makes some incredible observations. This is from one of the boys early on. After people started calling for them to be doxxed, one Hollywood producer said that they should be put in a wood shredder. That's not quite the right name, but a shredder, a thing that shreds wood. And that they should be put in there, and we should be just watching as they get shredded and murdered mercilessly. And that's just one tweet. There were lots of them. So one of the boys, these are just kids. He's responding to a local news report. Hello, Local 12. At the present time, I have an urgent request that truly is of the utmost importance. A request that supersedes my entire being and applies to the integrity of all Americans. You've probably seen or heard of the video of students wearing MAGA gear supposedly harassing, bothering, and jeering at a Native American veteran. This is not true and taken entirely out of context. I'm a student at Covington Catholic and was present at the occurrence. Every year, my high school attends the March for Life in D.C. and afterwards tours the city. And he says, we went to the memorial, we were meeting our chaperones as we gathered. We're an all-male school, we love to get hyped up, and our cheering section's called Colonel Crazies. And we've always done this, so we started cheering our school chants. We were approached by a group of adults led by Nathan Phillips, and Nathan and Phillips began to beat his drum. They forced their way into the center of our group. Initially, we thought this was a cultural display since he was beating along to our cheers. So we clapped to the beat. He came to stand in front of one of my classmates who stood where he was, smiling and enjoying the experience. However, after multiple minutes of Mr. Phillips beating his drum directly in the face of my friend, mere centimeters from his nose, we became confused and started wondering what was happening. And he goes on to tell his story. And then now he says the entire school is being disparaged for a crime we did not commit. We reiterate, we did not partake in any physical or verbal abuse. We did not chance build the wall or mock anything of like that, and did not seek to incite violence. He said, we were verbally assaulted by four or five African-American men who called us a racial, homophobic slur. I don't even like to use that word. A really ugly term for gays. And berated one of our African-American students for being friends with us. The truth needs to come out. I pray that you read this and can speak for us who are silenced by the media. So the boys, then, some of the Hollywood celebrities, including Kathy, whatever her name is, the comedian, redheaded comedian, doxed them. And so a couple of the boys appeared on in a short clip this morning that was aired on Fox, and I want you to hear what they had to say.
There have been many threats against our lives, against our parents. Some of these threats include that we should all be locked in the school and it should be burnt to the ground, the school being bombed, school shooting threats. It's really scary. A lot of the negativity and the hate surrounding this event comes from people on social media doxing people that were at the event. I myself wasn't even present, and I have been doxed on three separate occasions. This has led to a tsunami of hateful messages and threats and everything above. There are real consequences for these actions. Nobody did their research, and it's now showing.
Yes, and I could go. Here's the thing. I could go through so many tweets. You know, Dan Rather couldn't be quiet. The National Review weighed in and wrote a terrible piece condemning these boys. Rush Limbaugh's observation about that, and I think he's right. They are never Trumpers. They hate Trump, and they are so eager to be right about him. They're desperate to be right about President Trump, and so they thought this proved their point, that kids that wore Make America Great Again hats were poisoned by the wicked, horrible Donald Trump. But it was just not true. It's a lie. And so the observation that Rod Dreyer makes, this is what it means to be a social justice warrior, even if you happen to be a rich Hollywood screenwriter, writer, and producer. This is what people on the right are up against. This is why so many older people who grew up under communism and who now live in the West tell me that conditions here are starting to remind them of their youth under communism. It's the way the media and others in the left-wing mob will flat-out lie about their political opponents in an attempt to destroy them personally and professionally. That unnamed boy in the iconic image staring with a rictus grin at Nathan Phillips is now an enemy of the people, even though there was no evidence at all that he did anything wrong. Truth doesn't matter. Truth is what serves the cause. And so I have to tell you, we've got to be smart about this. And promise me, honestly, promise me, you will not yield to the temptation to watch somebody being destroyed, certainly by the New York Times, the Washington Post, ABC, CBS, NBC. Wait, take a breath, and make sure you can trust your source. Do not jump on the bandwagon. And stand and defend people. Don't be cowards about this. Stand and defend. And we need to stop this. They have made wearing a Make America Great Again poison. There's somebody who put a meme showing up that famous picture of the diner where blacks can't be served at the counter, and there were black kids, black men at the counter who invaded that space. Someone did one of people with a MAGA hat and all the people standing around. That is the new discrimination. There's no question about it. Not the MAGA hat, but conservatives. For sure. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteous deeds suppress the truth. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Karen Pence, the wife of Vice President Mike Pence, returned to teaching at the Emanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia, where she will teach an art class twice a week. A Christian woman returned to teaching at a Christian school that adheres to Christian sexual ethics as taught in the Christian Bible. Can someone tell me why this is a news story? When it's newsworthy for Christians to actually live according to Jesus' teachings, that is a pretty good indication of where we are as a society.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner, or visit the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Talking Snake Media had a gloriously, spectacularly bad weekend. First, they accused President Trump of ordering his attorney Michael Cohen to lie to Congress for him. Turns out it was the media telling the lie. Then they tried to tell us a high school student harassed and taunted a Native American veteran. But it turns out that they lied to us again. And they are still lying about the claim that Congressman Steve King is a white supremacist. I call them the talking snake media in memory of the serpent in the garden who successfully lied to Eve. Jesus exposed Satan not only as a liar, but as the father of lies, by which he meant that every lie in the end comes from the mind of Satan. We must consume secular media with skepticism and discernment. It's almost enough to make you listen to nothing but AFR all day.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've been all over the country helping disaster victims who lose everything.
It's truly a blessing. I really don't have the words to express.
And yet, they see a glimmer of hope when a volunteer shows up.
Building the home, that's the second reason we're here. The number one reason is to share the gospel and give them hope.
It's everything that's right in America. I mean, it really represents the best that we have to offer.
That's one of the main reasons for doing it, is being able to be the hands and feet of Jesus and coming out and working with so many wonderful volunteers.
I just feel like it's important in this day and age to teach a child how to serve.
Please go to our website, 8daysofhope.com, and click on Get Involved. Submit your email address, and the next time we go anywhere with a disaster, we'll invite you to come along as well.
I love coming in the job room because you can see these pieces of paper, they aren't just a piece of paper.
Right.
It's a family that's hurting, and it's a gospel opportunity.
You know, I just thank God, you know, for this moment. I mean, I'll be back in my home, and I know it's going to be awesome.
Come love others with 8 Days of Hope.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Senate Democrats are expected today to block President Trump's proposed compromise designed to open the government and secure our southern border. Their mantra is, walls don't work. The absurdity of this contention is evident in a new report by the Meir Amit Intelligence and Terrorism Information Center in Israel. It found that 80% of those killed in the course of weekly Palestinian attacks aimed at tearing down the Jewish state's fence with Gaza are terrorists who seek to capture or murder Israeli civilians. While Democratic legislators in this country are increasingly hostile to Israel, it still seems inconceivable they would demand that she remove this security barrier on the grounds that it would be more moral to allow Palestinian jihadists free access to her citizens. So, why are they okay with giving dangerous aliens a free shot at ours? This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
You know, another part of that story that I wanted to make sure, a point that needed to be made, it's really important because bishops and priests, nuns and dioceses, including the diocese where these boys go to school, were quick to condemn these boys, talk about expelling them. And I don't even think they, and most of them, as I understand it, have not even taken back what they said. And so Rod Dreher makes this point, which I think is a good one. He says, it would be highly ironic that the diocese condemning the boys in Kentucky, considered expelling them, But it would be highly ironic considering that the reluctance of Catholic bishops to expel child molesters from the priesthood because of mercy. And it's really true, isn't it? That whole scandal in the Catholic Church has gone on for so long under the guise of mercy. We wouldn't want these priests to be, you know, singled out or made to feel bad, so we transfer them to other dioceses where they do the same thing over again. We can't condemn them publicly, but we can condemn these boys who had the audacity to wear Make America Great caps and march in honor of life. Even without talking to them, we roundly condemn them. We jump to the conclusion that these poor native people, because the Catholic Church, I believe, has a complete, at least the leadership, total blind spot about racism and about minority people. It's not rational. You know, I don't know why a church who should understand that in Christ there's neither bond nor free, male nor female, or any kind of race. I think it says Scythian and something doesn't mean anything to us, but it's talking about races. There is no difference, no distinction. We don't prefer one over the other. God does not prefer one over the other. So we don't prefer them over our own children either, unless our old children are in the wrong. It is colorless. The evaluations that Christ followers should make. And so that point needed to be made. But of course, the extension of this, the real consequences of what we're seeing, the destruction of people, whether it's Steve King or these boys, or I could fill in the blank with a lot of other people, you know, I could. But one has been in the news in the last few days since the last weekend, and that's the wife of the Vice President of the United States. Let's listen to this report from CBS.
I call my initiative Art Therapy, Healing with the Heart.
Second Lady Karen Pence's decision to teach art part-time at Emmanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia has generated controversy. That's because the private elementary school's website says it may refuse admission or discontinue enrollment of a student if a parent or guardian violates a biblical lifestyle. Prohibited behavior includes participating in, supporting, or condoning homosexual activity. Likewise, employees, including teachers, can be fired for engaging in homosexual or lesbian activity or transgender identity. Those rules would appear to be consistent with the views of Vice President Mike Pence, a longtime critic of gay rights.
To defend that institution that forms the backbone of our society, traditional marriage.
Rules banning homosexuality are not uncommon at private Christian schools, and generally they do not violate the law.
Karen Pence is sending a message.
But law professor Evan Wolfson says the question is not what's legal, it's what's right for victims of discrimination.
This is the Second Lady of the United States cheering that discrimination and exclusion on.
A spokesperson for Karen Pence said in a statement, it's absurd that her decision to teach art to children at a Christian school and the school's religious beliefs are under attack. Emmanuel Christian School did not respond to our request for comment. Chip Reed, CBS News, Washington.
Thank you, Chip. Well, it's not much of a story when you report that a Christian school actually holds Christian principles. But then we are living in an age of nonsense. And so you can see them stirring the pot. Just to Karen Pence's situation, particularly, Emmanuel Christian School, by the way, is part of Emmanuel Bible Church, which I mentioned yesterday, and I'll repeat, my husband and I attended for a time because Dr. Michael Easley, who was the president of Moody, in Chicago, had become a friend, and he had been the former pastor. So that's the kind of school it is, and that's the kind of church it is, just to give you an idea. So this is a very mainstream, very, very well thought out. A lot of people in government, from the Pentagon, all kinds of people, including Congressman Mike Pence, when he was a congressman, attended Emmanuel Bible Church. And so this is the wicked, no good, horrible place that Karen Pence has decided to teach. She was there, by the way. I think she taught there 9 years. When the vice president was a congressman. And so the Washington Post did this long article about how horrible this is and about it reprints the things that the prospective employees have to agree to, that marriage is between one man and one woman, no sex outside of marriage. Of course, it condemns pornography and all kinds of things. It says homosexual behavior, premarital sex, none of that will be allowed. I'm truncating it, of course. And so This is Rebecca Klein of the Huffington Post reported the story first. She said the school where Karen Pence will be working makes potential employees sign a pledge promising they won't participate in homosexual or lesbian sexual activity, polygamy, transgender identity. Okay, so that's terrible, you see. And that's the big story. And by the way, Emmanuel Christian School and the church has been receiving all kinds of harassment since then. And there's a reason why this stuff is dusting up. And the reason is that Nancy Pelosi has a wonderful plan for all of us, and it's called the Equality Act. The Equality Act, you haven't heard about it lately because there's a government shutdown, and they've been busy with other things. We should thank God for this government shutdown in this regard. The Equality Act is one of Pelosi's highest priorities. The Equality Act would add sexual orientation. That means if you are a guy and you like other guys, yet your orientation, or if you're a girl and you like other girls, it could be the other way, but that's usually, you know, that wide umbrella that includes people who are gay. And gender identity, those that think that are born men, but they think they're women, those that are women and think they're men, whatever you identify as, that's what you should be, thus the pronouns, etc. So this would add, this Equality Act would add sexual orientation and gender identity to the list of protected classes in the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which protected people of color, like as though your sexual identity was the same thing as your color, the thing that you have that's intrinsic in your DNA that you were born with at birth. So it equates that. So what does that mean to us? Well, this is what it means. I'll read you a little story. This is from the Daily Signal. Last year in Ohio, a judge removed a biological girl from her parents' custody after they declined to help her transition to male with testosterone supplements. A Cincinnati Children's Gender Clinic recommended these treatments for gender dysphoria, which is the condition of being distressed with one's biological sex. When her parents wanted to treat her with counseling instead, Hamilton County Job and Family Services charged them with abuse and neglect. While transgender activists and pro-trans doctors compared their decision to denying treatment for asthma or even cancer patients. And that all happened without any federal legislation. If the Equality Act passes, this is what we are facing. This will be the loss of parental rights. This will be the loss of doctors being able to say, I'm not down with gender dysphoria. I don't want to prescribe these hormones and sex-altering drugs to children. I don't want to do that. Forget the ability to do that. Because it's amazing how, in fact, there's some stats here, but the number of children, so research shows, here it is, that 75 to 95% of children with gender dysphoria who go through puberty without any transgender treatments actually become comfortable with their bodies. But there's been an increase in the amount of children taking these hormones and considering that they're gender dysphoric. And you know why? Because they're hearing it on television. Their parents are hearing it. They're very suggestive. Little boy, who doesn't know a tomboy? A little girl that was a tomboy. I know several of them who grew up to actually be women and beautiful women. And so that's the point, that leave them alone and let them go through their own transition. And I'm talking about the natural transition. But instead, they are being singled out and told that they have gender dysphoria, and now all these drugs have been applied. It's just, it's appalling. And that's what the Equality Act would make sure of. It's not just that. It's not just the medical part of it. It's also businesses. You just, what, like we see with the cake baker, with the Colorado baker, with the baker in Oregon, with the florist in Washington State, you will be forced, businesses will be forced to be completely blind about gender. And there will be punishment if you don't conform. You see, it's not enough. It's not about equality. It's about forcing people to accept these, I'll say unbiblical, but I'll say nonsensical, irrational definitions of what it means to be a man and a woman. And if you don't think I'm exaggerating, I want you to hear the California Senate Judiciary Chairman announce what it's like to have a gender-neutral position. The California Congress became the first state in the union to officially recognize a third gender, paving the way for non-gender binary to be included in most official state documents. So this is the result of that. Just listen as, again, the California Senate Judiciary Chairman announces their new plan for pronouns.
Our first order of business is to approve the committee rules. I'd like to note, in respecting the fact that we are now a state recognizing the non-binary designation as a gender, he and she, we are now merging them so that we are using what my grammar teacher would have had a heart attack over. We are using the phrase they and replacing other designations so that it's a gender-neutral designation of they, and we've done that through most of the, basically that's the primary reforms and revisions to the committee rules. So, and I appreciated Senator Mawning observing that the chair is she, but in the spirit of gender neutrality for the rules of this committee, it now designates the chair as they. So the world is a different place. My grammar teacher is long gone, and I won't be hearing from her. And if any of you... From them, exactly. From they. But for any of you who may hear from an old grammar teacher, blame it on me. So with that, is there a motion?
So
moved by Senator Mawning. Any debate or discussion? Seeing and hearing none, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
You think I'm overstating this? I'm not. As you want to laugh, it makes you laugh, but that's coming. In fact, I would imagine the next thing you're going to hear is you're going to hear news broadcasts and TV anchormen reducing and eliminating gender pronouns. It'll be they, and it's going to be interesting. It will be distressing, and if you persist on using the wrong pronouns, I think coming soon to a school and a neighborhood near you, you're going to be in big trouble. This will be part of this, the Equality Act, I think, will also probably extend to language. It is going to be draconian, and it will be a nightmare for Christians, conservatives, people of the book who believe that God meant what he said about gender. And so I'm not saying all of this to make you afraid. I'm saying this to warn you. You know, that's what the prophets did in the Old Testament. They brought warning. They brought warning for because we have to be prepared. Prepare yourself. And I think the way we prepare, of course, is to draw really close to God and get his perspective. Not that there's a different perspective on pronouns, but get his perspective of this world and what's happening. And also to sort of, I think, unleash ourselves from our attachments to this world and the stuff that we have and the positions that we have, sort of detach ourselves from their meaning and their importance and start exercising our willingness, asking God to help us to be willing to let go, because we're going to have to let go of a lot of things. There'll be a lot of punishment, and we're going to be entering a time of difficulty. So will your children, more so than you. And so we can do this. Other cultures and people and Christians through the centuries have paid a huge price. Maybe the details were different, but they laid it all on the line. And so must we. So practice now. You know, be unpopular in your neighborhood by the speech that you use, by the things that you say. Do it with grace and winsomeness, but don't run from speaking the truth and taking a stand. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.